Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts 26, go down to verse 4. No notes for you tonight, but I hope that you take them. I'm going to preach a message entitled, From Enemy to Emissary. From enemy to emissary when Paul met Jesus. Acts 26, verse 4, through until I stop. New International Version. The Jewish people all know the way I've lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they're willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope and what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping for to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God night and day, day and night. King Agrippa, it's because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Verse 8. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem on the authority of the chief priests. I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from synagogue to another and have them punished and tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King Agrippa, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. Verse 17, I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Verse 19, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then the Gentiles, and then to the Gentiles I preached that I should repent and turn to God, that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here to testify, small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and at the first to rise, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense and said, "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning has driven you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these sayings, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Whew, what a text. Holy Spirit, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, "Oh, it's going to be good." There was a common phrase that's used among people that goes something like this: "Well, as long as you believe." And I've talked to you about, how many of you heard that before? It's an excuse that people use to try to step away from believing in Jesus. "As long as you believe." Well, that's not true. We've quoted C.S. Lewis about that in Mere Christianity gave the instruction about that basically you don't even believe that that's true. And using basic logic and reason and critical thinking, which if you would read Mere Christianity, will teach you to think critically, which is lost today. If you just think critically, you would never say that, as long as you believe. How many of you heard some people say that? How many of you have ever said it? Don't lie. I said it. I certainly did before I gave my life to Christ. The statement is a byline and an excuse for not believing in Jesus. Well, as long as you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I'm going to believe. And C.S. Lewis destroyed that because we don't believe that. If you believed you could pour boiling water in someone else's lap, you might believe that. What do you think about the person who's getting the boiling water? He doesn't think it's okay that you believe that. In fact, don't pour boiling water in my lap. Your belief system to create a nuclear bomb and drop it on Israel is not excusable. It's not allowed. So just because Iran thinks that they can drop a bomb, and they will, that's why we have to do what we're going to do this week. And I don't know how that's all going to pan out, but that statement refuses to accept, as long as you believe, that statement refuses to accept that there's truth and there's a lie. And scripturally, there is truth and there are lies. And it doesn't matter what you think is true. What matters is what God says is true. That's what matters. Come on, somebody say, that's what matters. How painful it is when we believe things that are not true and then live according to them, because we end up in a place of pain. Paul believed. I mean, what a zealot. He pursued this cult, what he thought was a cult. He pursued this sect. He killed them, passionately pursued them, hunted them down from synagogue to synagogue. He was a Christian killer. He was the enemy of the church. He was used by Satan to destroy people's lives. And in fact, voted and gave his approval of martyrs. Stephen, they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's this guy. So he believed with all his heart and passionately. He was passionately wrong. So are the cults. You know, we went door to door this past week, and it was remarkable how many people we had come from our door to door. We had quite a few people that came, and I was blessed by that. I was talking to somebody who said, "Well, you know, the door to door, the cults go door to door." I said, "Yeah, the cults go door to door, but you know, it's very different when we go to door to door." So why is that? Because when I shake hands, when you shake hands, when somebody says hi that's filled with the Spirit and filled with the love of God, very different vibe. Can I use that term? Very different vibe than someone who's a cult follower. It's very different than a Jehovah's Witness coming or a cute little name tag with somebody who rides a nice bike. Hello, can I get an amen? It's very different. So when I literally showed up at people's houses, knocked, and I had somebody who was going to go with me, but they bailed. They had something come up, so I went by myself. You're supposed to go two by two, so I went with Jesus, me and Jesus. We went, and I went door to door. And when the doors opened, it was fascinating what happened. The door would open, people would be like, "What do you need?" And they just start smiling. I'm like, "Hey." They smile like, "Hey, good afternoon, good afternoon, good morning." It wasn't afternoon, it was morning. Invited them to the church. I had sincere people thanking me. I've just been spit on also. I've had difficult times at the door. But people need Christ. And Paul was a passionate zealot for what he believed, and he was totally wrong. But when he met Jesus on the road, it changed him from being an enemy to being an emissary. It changed him from being a persecutor of the church to being a builder of the church. It changed him from being a church destroyer to a church planner. It changed him from being someone who was angry and filled with rage, trying to stomp out Jesus, really, the way, and became a proponent, even suffering death, lost his head over it in the end. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything for the Apostle Paul. He understood the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. If you were to talk to any Jew and read them Isaiah 53, any Jew that knew the Torah, knew the Old Testament, you read Isaiah 53, they know that Isaiah 53 is about the Messiah. And then knowing history, how do you miss the correlation between Isaiah 53 and Jesus being the suffering servant of Isaiah 53? Others were resurrected in Scripture, but they were all really signs. Lazarus, the widow of Nain in the New Testament, the 12-year-old girl. Paul preached so long, this guy, what was his name? Eutychus. Don't name your boy Eutychus, for God's sake. That would be a hard one to overcome, wouldn't it? Eutychus. Eutychus, you think I preached long. Paul preached so long that Eutychus fell out of the window. He was in the window, and he falls out dead. It's in the book of Acts. And then he goes, and he lays himself on top of the boy Eutychus, and he prays, and the boy comes back to life. It's this powerful picture. And then you know what he goes up? He didn't close in prayer. He went back up and finished his sermon. I think we should preach till 3 in the morning, Pastor Kirsten. What do you think? Let's just have church. Come on. As you preach for more than 45 minutes, people just lose their sanctification. You can watch a two-hour movie and get defiled, but you can't sit in church for... We should move on. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Not here. Yeah, you know, the resurrection of the Easter crowd, we like saying resurrection because Easter comes from Astarte, and it's just... Anyway, I don't want to get into all that, but we're not celebrating the egg or the bunny. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Anybody that comes on Easter evening, the Sunday night, this is the hardcore crew right here. Sunday night in this house is one of the least attended services, so you got to be hungry if you're here tonight. Come on, why don't you wave at the person next to you? Hey, hundreds of people here when many churches are closed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. Wow. Yeah, the resurrection is Christianity. Absolutely. And so we talked about that this morning. But Paul's testimony here is told three times. Acts 9, Acts 21, Acts 22, and Acts 26. Acts 9, Acts 21. I might have an error there. Acts 26 for sure. We read it. Context, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, the Pentecost festival. He's on his final journey. He's doing purification rite for 7 days, and he's attacked by some Jews from Ephesus. Ephesus is where they had the greatest New Testament revival. You know, I've been saying it for a long time. Do you know America is experiencing an awakening? No, seriously. Every pastor I know, and I know, I haven't talked to them all, but I've talked to quite a few. We're texting back and forth all afternoon. Every pastor I know that I spoke to today, every one of them, all of their churches broke all their records. All of them had people saved all across America, from Idaho to California to Hawaii and Florida. Pastors are like, dude, people turned out. There's like a covering that's come across. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Something is happening. Can I get an amen? Well, Paul is attacked by some Jews, and he's arguing his case here before King Agrippa. And if you look in verse 13 and 14, his companions heard a voice. Well, they didn't hear the message. They all saw a light. It's not a hallucination. There were other people that were there. I've had God speak so loudly to me that I thought other people heard, but when I asked them, they didn't hear, but I did. Was it audible? I don't know. It was audible to me. They heard a sound. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't a figment of their imagination. Now, Christianity is based on really history, fulfilling so many prophecies, which Paul talked about in his text. There are eyewitnesses in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 through 8. And again, this story of Jesus crucified, everybody knew about it that lived in Jerusalem. You could walk to the tomb. You could walk to where he was. You knew where the Garden of Gethsemane was. Everybody knew where that was. If you go to Israel, I have a friend, Jordan Hodges, getting on an airplane, going to Israel tomorrow morning. You go to Israel, and we're going to have a trip here this coming November. And by the grace of God, this coming November. I got that right, Pastor Karen? We got in this mini argument. I said next November. It wasn't an argument. It was an argument to me. It wasn't Pastor Karen. Next November, if somebody says, let me just check something out. If somebody says it's going to happen next November, when is that? Whatever. I would think the very following November, which is coming up. But most of you, obviously, let me pray for you. Father, help all these people, I pray. You know, the thing about deception is you don't realize you're wrong when you're deceived. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the only way to explain. Let's move on. Come on. I'm wrong. It happens every so often. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the only way to explain Paul, Saul. I love what a friend of mine said. He got hit so hard by God that it knocked the S off and put a P on, and his name is now Paul. His name was Saul. Saul, the persecutor of the church, the resurrection of Jesus is the only way to explain someone like him. Radically transformed from an enemy to an emissary. He saw himself, look at verse 16. He saw himself as a servant. He said that I'm a witness to do what? Look at verse 18. To open the eyes. To do what? To open the eyes. People that don't know Jesus, his eyes were closed. He was blind. In fact, he was 3 days blind after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. There are people that are out there that are 3 days blind. Your neighbors calling out to God, people praying, calling on God. They're looking for somebody who would come and bring the glorious message of Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, believe on him, and you will not perish, but you'll come and have everlasting life. People are looking for answers right now. Please, please receive a boldness right now to reach to your neighbors. I believe that we don't ever have to drop an attendance. We could go on to 2,000 and 2,500. We'll add services. We'll do a Saturday night service. We'll keep adding services. God gave us this facility. Come on, someone say yes. To open the eyes. To turn people from darkness, right there in the text, from the darkness to light. There is darkness, there is light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. To declare light. My goodness, look at verse 18. Why was he called? Why was he a servant? Y'all over there in verse 18, look with me. What does it say? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to life, and the power of Satan, the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness. You need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. The world needs forgiveness, which can only be brought about through the precious blood of Jesus, who was crucified for you and crucified for me, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose 3 days later. It's proof that, as Dr. Morocco said in his video, that anything's possible if God raises the dead. He can heal you. He can set you free. He can heal your family. He can touch our nation. He can touch our state. He can touch the nations of the world. People can be forgiven, that heaven can be your home. The reason this church is here, you know why the church is here? It's here for two reasons. It's not a religious club. We're here to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I should probably say we're here to make saints And we're here to equip them. What do you mean make saints? You don't have to be voted in to become a saint. You're made a saint or a hagios, a holy one. You're made holy by the blood. Every person that receives Jesus as our Lord and Savior is a saint. Doesn't matter what the diocese says. Doesn't matter what the Pope says. What matters is what God's word says. To see every man, every woman, every child be brought to salvation through Jesus, to believe on the Lord, to be born again, to be made new, but not just to have that happen, to be equipped, to be trained, to become perfect in Christ, to become mature. That's what we do. That's why we have life groups. That's why we do all the things that we do. That's why we work the way that we work. That's why we have so many services, because it is that important. That's why we built this building. That's why this is here. We're here to reach the lost and to make disciples. Can someone say amen? And that's what God called Paul to do. He was committed to it. Worship team, please. From enemy to emissary. How can we become an emissary? An emissary is someone who carries a message to another nation or a faraway country. When you receive Jesus, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you were translated out of darkness, the Word of God says, into the kingdom of His Son. You're no longer part of the world. You're not a part of the darkness anymore. You've been set free. Your eyes have been opened. You've been liberated. You've been delivered. You've been born again. Your sins are forgiven. They're thrown as far as the east is from the west. You're no longer a citizen of this world. You're still here. You're passing through. You're translated. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, but you're still here. Why are you here? You're here to be an emissary, every one of us. Three things here, how to be an emissary. Number one, believe in Jesus, first of all. You got to be made a saint first. Got to believe in Jesus, number one. And if you haven't done that yet, I'll give you an opportunity in just a moment. Secondly, you got a desire for other people to be saved. Now, if you don't have that desire, your relationship with Jesus might need to be kindled a little bit. Kindled. What does that mean? Fanned into flames a little bit. When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? One-on-one. Have you ever done that? It's a rhetorical question. It means you don't have to like shout, I did. But you're supposed to be an emissary. You're supposed to be an ambassador. You and I are supposed to be a minister of reconciliation. Well, how are you going to reconcile people if you don't ever share the good news with them? Pastor, I'm feeling bad because I don't share my faith. Don't feel bad. Feel convicted. Repent. Change. Learn the Romans road. Learn how to share your faith. Get some boldness. Hell and eternity is forever. Invite people. Well, they didn't want to come last time. Things have changed. There's a new government. There's a new administration. There's a new atmosphere all over America, all over the state. It doesn't matter if you invited your neighbors before. Invite them again. Invite them again and invite them again. And just put that happy, cheesy, Jesus-loving smile on and invite them. Why do churches have to be full on Easter and not after? I pray that we just continue to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. That's what the word says. That's what's going to happen. Can I get an amen? You know how it'll happen? By you becoming like the Apostle Paul and being an emissary. You got to have a desire for people to be saved. You know, my son and my daughter, my son-in-law are over there at Maui. And all the things they did, my gosh, they had an egg hunt with 70,000 Easter eggs. And we used to do that. The reason we didn't is because we've had a challenge with the sports complex and people don't like looking for eggs in the snow. This is an unusual year. And I don't know, Pastor Kirsten, you remember we had egg hunts? We always had people leave. That's it. I'm not going to your church. You guys worship the egg. People get all upset because we have an egg hunt. just makes me want to wet. We would have 4,000 people come to that event. It's terrifying. That building's way too small for 4,000 people. Maybe we'll do it again. We'll see. We'll see. We do outreaches like that. Why would they do that? Because this is the most important message ever. Why would you have sunrise services? And why would you have Good Friday services? And why would you have a big, giant Easter production? We've had Easter productions before. We'll have Easter productions again. Why would you do that? Because it's the most important message. And we're going to use any means and every means to reach the lost, so long as we don't violate God's word. And eggs don't violate his word, for God's sake. If you're bowing down to an egg, I'll have an altar call for you at the end of tonight. I'm going to lay the hands on you and cast the egg devil off of you. And if you worship the bunny, you also need deliverance. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh, the bunny, ooh, the bunny. We're doing everything we can to reach people, and we're going to continue to do that. Thirdly, live a life worthy of repentance. I get that from verse 20. Live your life for the glory of God. Make a wide swath through this life for the kingdom of God that you possibly can. From enemy to emissary, the Apostle Paul, that's what happened to him. And I believe that's what happened to people today. People got saved. We got dozens and dozens and dozens of people saved. Hundreds of people, thousands of people saved all over the state, all over the valley, in every single church. All the guys, the VPPN, we have this large text, and they're all shouting, everybody's shouting. Every pastor I know in the valley all be like, man, my church was full, man. People got saved, dozens of people, hundreds of people, 10 people here, 10 people there, 20 people here, 20 people there. People filled, breaking all the, every church I know. That's what happened. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. It is an amazing thing to be alive at this time, to be called by God, to be used by God. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus all across this place. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence, for your power. Thank you that we were once enemies. We've been called to be emissaries, even like the Apostle Paul. Holy Spirit, come upon your people right now. Use us to be your hands extended. The enemy's on the ropes. Anybody know what that means? The enemy's on the ropes. You turn let loose every haymaker in the spirit you have. Just keep swinging and swinging and swinging. It's a battle that we've already won, but we must do our job. Grow in God. Learn about the Lord. There is the power of Satan. There is the power of God. There is darkness. There is light. Doesn't matter what other people say. Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what God's word says. Paul believed passionately. He was totally wrong. And his eyes were open. Sometimes we don't see the whole picture. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. You want to make a recommitment to him. You say, that's me, Pastor. And slip your hand up. Would you do it now? You want to get right with God. God bless you all the way in the back. Thank you, sweetheart. God bless you over there. Over on this side too, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Stand up on your feet with me, won't you? And pray this prayer right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you tonight to wash me and cleanse me and be my Lord and Savior. Open my eyes and I turn from darkness now to light. I turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. Use me to be your emissary, to be your ambassador. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Holy Spirit, fill, touch, break every bondage. Open people's eyes, even online right now in Jesus' name. Raise up an army like the Apostle Paul, raise up an army of disciples. For that is the reason we're here, to reach the lost, to equip people. Give us a glorious burden for souls. and for making disciples. Come on, I didn't preach long. I'm almost done. Pray right now. We pray, God, help us. Help our life groups to grow and flourish. Help us to, every team to grow. Thank you, King's Kids. The 100 people that served at King's Kids, thank you for serving. Thank you for doing something for the Lord to have more kids come through this place than we've ever had before. Lord, thank you. Continue to raise up people. I pray, give people a burden for growing in the knowledge of God, for fulfilling purpose and destiny, that we would be used like the Apostle Paul, that we would be used to turn people from darkness. I pray for the upcoming women's conference. Come on, pray for that. We pray, Lord, it would be a watershed moment. Pastor Karen, take the microphone and lead us in prayer. God's going to pour out his spirit at the women's conference.
Lord,
come on, pray for that.
We are believing, oh God, as we have prepared by your grace.
Lift your voice.
For you. We are believing for your power, your presence to come. Lord, that women would grow in their intimacy with you. Lord, we thank you that you are touching our worship team. You're touching our speakers. We thank you that you are even touching all the women, even preparing their hearts. God, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit.
Pour out your spirit, Lord God.
May it be even the beginning of a habitation of your power and your presence in our lives, in this place, in greater measure, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Father, thank you. Raise up an army, not only here, but across the body of Christ in this region and in the nation. Let there be a marked outpouring. Turn the battle at the gate. Take those who are enemies and turn them into emissaries like you did for Paul. Do that for many. Pack churches out weekend after weekend, week after week after week, all the way through the summer. The churches would grow. Their building projects would start. I pray a bringing home of prodigals. I call forth the wayward. I call forth those that are hurting and broken and lost and bound and addicted, the rich and the poor and everything in between. Let there be a historic ingathering of souls, God, all through the summer, on into the fall. Lord, let your power be manifested in and through us. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Shout to God like you believe it. Come on. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance towards you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Go enjoy the rest of your evening with your family. We love you so much. Happy resurrection to you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.